Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
And welcome back to your regularly scheduled OBGYN appointment.
We just lost followers. People with OBGYN anxiety are like, nope, gone.
Listen,
it's scary.
It can be scary. I have a lot of friends who don't go to the gynecologist because they're very, very scared. And why wouldn't you be? Like, that's internal. Like, that's something you can't see.
Yeah.
No.
I know. So this episode today is going to be some vagina talk, and we're shooting the shit with you guys, and we're talking about all the weird shit that happens with vaginas that we've learned as young women in their late 20s, things that nobody told us about, some crazy things that we've seen on the internet. If you know the girl with the list, you know. We're talking about it.
And I told Liz before we started this episode, somebody's going to comment on it and be like, craziest thing that I've ever experienced with my vagina is having a kid. So I have both of you girls beat. I know it. One of you people out there with a baby is going to say it. And you know what? Hands down, you have me beat. And I don't care.
It is what it is. But Brooke and I both have some experiences that you've already heard about on the podcast if you've been listening for a while.
We definitely do.
Good.
Okay, so first of all, before we get into personal vagina issues, we're going to get into the various things that just vagina owners can experience. As if being a woman's not enough. There are vaginal infections. There are UTIs. There's vulvodynia. There's
wording.
There is literally, the Liz, this one throws me. Vaginal atrophy. It's weird.
I don't even know what does atrophy mean? I don't even know what
something,
that is.
When something atrophies, it means that it breaks down. And muscular dystrophy? Like,
oh, yeah.
So when something atrophies, it's like essentially just disintegrating. So like
your vagina is disintegrating, or like your uterus is disintegrating,
your vaginal walls during menopause, apparently they're like thinning and drying, and like there's like inflammation and shit. So then we got obviously our wonderful friend PCOS. We've got endometriosis. Love that. Got that. Definitely have that. We've got fibroids, which are non-cancerous growths in your uterus, but they can cause pain. So don't be excited that just because they're non-cancerous, because they can hurt you. We've got pelvic inflammatory disease. Also, we have dyspareunia. That's one that I had to actually go to pelvic physical therapy for. This is one of the main reasons I wanted to have this fucking episode, because I don't know if I ever really talked about that.
I don't think you did. And I actually didn't even know that pelvic physical therapy was a thing until you went through it. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? A lot of insurances don't cover it for pregnant women or for postpartum, which is fucked because you need that shit.
That's crazy.
Way that your pelvic floor changes when you are pregnant is insane. And then you squeeze that baby out and it's got its funky looking little cyclops head all misshapen. And that has nothing to do with it. I just really wanted to point out the fact that babies' heads come out crazy shaped because they're being squeezed through the birth canal.
Well, they do.
They do.
Look weird. They look like aliens.
I saw a square-headed baby today. Yeah. Well,
how does that even happen?
I don't know. My friend sent it to me and was like, was the vagina shaped like a box? Because why is the baby's head square?
Right. If it fits, it sits.
If it fits, it sits. So you got like all of those issues, and that doesn't even like, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. I think this is going to be a pity women episode. Feel sorry for us. This is what we live for.
It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it is. And for those of you who don't know what dyspareunia is, let me tell you a little fucking story, guys.
Yes, story time.
Story time. So, many eons ago, I had to go to a pelvic floor therapist. I was referred to this therapist from my gynecologist because I was having severe vaginal pain during the whoosie whatsies, if you know what I mean. And I was really worried, like, that, you know, something was seriously wrong with me. So I go to my gynecologist. And at first she's like, oh, you have a yeast infection. I'm like, I know damn well no yeast infection's doing this to me. She was wrong. So we went back. And this time she pressed on my stomach during my exam. And I screamed. And she was like, oh, honey, you need pelvic floor therapy. And I was like, what the funk? Anyways, I go to this therapist every week. I went every week for 3 months. I have yet to see a bill. My insurance didn't cover it, but I never got a bill, so I'm not going to contest that. Also, the practice ended up getting sold, so I don't think I'm ever going to see a bill.
Oh,
so
yeah. Cool.
But every week, once a week, for like 3 months straight, I went to see a pelvic floor therapist. We became besties. I have
yeah, you were there all the time.
You had to. She's sticking all types of shit up in there. What she would do essentially is she would put this like ultrasound thing with like, this is funny. So they cover it with actually like what looks like a condom. But first they fill it. They fill it up with like ultrasound gel. Then they put it over the machine. And then they use it and they warm it up. And then they use that to relax the muscles around your like perineum.
Yeah.
My problem was that I had a super, super tight perineum. And this is, so in our next episode, we're actually kind of talking about, briefly, we talk about like where Liz holds stress. Liz mentions in her shoulders, I hold stress in my pelvic floor. So for years, I worked as a server, and think about like lifting things and like putting all of this weight on one side of your body, just repeatedly doing like the same thing, standing all day or sitting too long, crossing your legs for too long, whatever, can result like this, that's what happened. Like, it was so incredibly irritated. Like, she literally had to warm it every time I went with this ultrasound thing. Didn't feel too bad, I'm not gonna lie, but she had to warm it to relax it. And then, I'm not even kidding, children, cover your ears. She'd go in with her like gloved, obviously, finger, and she would like have to go around like a clock kind of, and she'd press on these like points, and the longer that I could stand for her to press on the muscle, the more it relaxed. And the goal was for her to be able to go around the whole thing, and like my pain would be at like a one, which is essentially like non-existent. And from there we moved on to like, I had to use these. They looked like dildos, I'm not going to lie. They looked crazy. I still have them because they were mad expensive. I'm not going to get rid of those.
Yeah, no.
They look like, you know how people gauge their ears and they move up in size? Think of that, but not for your ears.
How often did they have you use those?
I was supposed to use them every day. So I'd use one until I could essentially like walk around with it in me and it like wouldn't hurt, and then I'd move to the next size the next week. And then she like had me get as many as like I, you know, she was like, some people come up in here and they want to be able to fit something this big, and like I help them do that. I'm like, girl.
Oh, so they're dilators.
That's exactly the word. They're dilators. That's exactly what they are. And I did that for about 6 months until that muscle was no longer irritated. I'm not kidding, Liz. I lived with that pain for a year and a half. And all it took was 6 months of therapy to like get me back to where like a normal 22, 23 year old is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But that's like the type of shit nobody knows about that stuff. They just, they stay quiet about it because they think it's embarrassing.
No, that's actually, that's a really good thing to say on the podcast, because if you're experiencing what you probably experienced, pain during sexual intercourse, and I don't know, did it like even hurt to like walk or sit down?
No, it just hurt like during, it was never like, that's the only time I felt it. So of course that I was like, was never interested.
Right.
Because that hurt so damn bad.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to know, obviously everybody's going to have a different experience, but that makes it seem less scary if you're like, oh, all I'd have to do is this thing for 6 months ish, whatever, you know, and I could like not have this pain anymore.
Yeah. And that was years ago and it never came back. I never experienced it again.
I just feel like I have learned all information about my body in the past like 5 years, because growing up, I went to a religious school, and not that you, if you go to a private school, it doesn't mean that you know everything either. The sexual education in the United States is fucked. Play on words. And, but I went to a super religious fundy school, and I never had a sex talk at school. If my mom didn't tell me, I would have been very confused for a while. And I mean, she didn't lay out for me every little thing that could happen to my vagina, because she probably didn't even know. And it's only, honestly, I've learned a lot from TikTok just by hearing other women's experiences. Like,
yeah.
Like the girl with the list. If you guys are on TikTok, we're probably on a similar side of TikTok. The girl with the list, you can look her up. You can literally type in the girl with the list. She has compiled a list together of reasons not to have children. And that's not what this whole episode is entirely about. But you guys know that we are child-free by choice. And this list definitely helped to, you know,
solidify that decision.
That she has like a Google sheet that everybody can access, and you can see the list, and it's ages long. It's people who have had kids, it's people who are pregnant, you know, little shit like babies suck your bone marrow out. Like your bones get frail because they're sucking your life source.
Oh, I just saw one, pregnancy tumor in your mouth.
What? See, that's
what? Carpal tunnel. Why do you get carpal tunnel from being pregnant?
Who even knows?
Ew, number 125 is breast milk can clump. Ow!
Oh, it can clump and get stuck in your milk ducts, and your boobs will swell up, and they'll be like,
mastitis.
Yeah, they'll be painful to the touch until you can get the clump out.
Yeah, it's called mastitis.
It's there, and these are things that I had never heard of. Never. And
you can break your tailbone if you push too hard.
Yeah, it's crazy. So look up the girl with the list if you're interested. It's very informative. And all of these
babies, I wouldn't do it.
These are all from women who have been pregnant or given birth and are sharing their experiences. And they're things that I've never fucking heard of in a million years. But anyway. So yeah, and then there's PCOS and endometriosis, and Brooke is dealing with endometriosis. Earlier this year, I thought that I might have PCOS because I was experiencing this thing. It was really weird, where I was extremely painfully bloated. Like anytime I would eat or drink anything, and I'm talking like drinking some water or eating, like not just eating greasy junk food or whatever. If I ate or drank anything, my stomach would immediately bloat and turn rock hard. And it hurt. Like it was so uncomfortable. It felt like I hadn't farted in 3 weeks. And that shit fucking hurts when you have farts stuck inside you. And so I went to the gynecologist and I was, you know, because of course, before my gynecology appointment, I was Googling things. And then I was like, oh my God, what if I have cysts? What if I have PCOS? And I went in and I did have one singular cyst, but she was like, you know, I think almost every woman gets a cyst here and there and you never even know about it. And it might feel like a cramp or something. But so she was like, no, you don't have PCOS. She asked me all these questions and it was kind of just a fucking mystery and it just went away. So, you know, the vagina is like, all these things can go wrong, but also it's a fucking mystery because this weird shit happened to my abdomen in my like uterus area. And the doctor had no idea and it just went away.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But I did have a cyst. I just didn't have PCOS.
Also, another crazy thing that can happen with your vagina. You can have an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh my God. I think that an ectopic pregnancy is up there in one of my biggest fears. Because I have the copper IUD. And if you're on like a serious, you know, like implanted birth control, it's in your body all the time. If you get knocked up, I'm pretty sure I've heard that like it more than likely would be an ectopic pregnancy. And I know a handful of people who have experienced those and almost died from them. And luckily I live in Colorado, so I would be able to get, you know, care for that. But there are states now where an ectopic pregnancy is kind of blurring the lines of abortion or whatever, and doctors won't perform surgeries, life-changing surgeries, until you are coding, because they don't want to lose their license. So they will literally tell patients, go out in the parking lot, and when you start bleeding out, come in.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, so ectopic pregnancies are a huge fear of mine. Not that it's not something I like dwell on all the time, but it's up there, you know?
God. Why were we born with these?
This fucking shit is crazy.
Do pee-pee owners have to go through this much?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. And on top of just like all the things that could go wrong, there's all of the shit we have to deal with on a monthly basis. Like not just your period, but we have all the cycles, you know, there's all the cycles that you go through. I've recently been trying to align my workout schedule a little bit more in tune with my menstrual cycles and phases. And I've noticed that like the day before my period and the first day of my period, I am like the weakest. I'm like at my weakest point. Like the weights that I had just been lifting the day before are too heavy for me.
Woof.
Yeah. Crazy. And then there's, you know, is it your follicular phase where, you know, you're glowing and you're full of
energy. That's my favorite.
And you're emitting these hormones and it makes everybody love you. And we need to do an episode on the menstrual phases. Like a dedicated episode.
We should.
And I think it would be cool to talk about things that you can align with your menstrual phase, like a workout or foods or, you know, all this stuff like that.
Yeah, like a workout, foods, music that goes along with that phase, you know?
Yeah.
Because when I'm in my follicular phase, I'd be over here singing, what's a damn song that I was singing when you were here? It might call me a BITCH, because that's what you will call me when I'm something anyway. You know, you don't control me, baby. You're real in your life.
That's Lizzo. You know you don't control me, baby.
No, you don't control me, baby. This was literally just an episode of us talking about, like, scary vagina things.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know why I decided that this was going to be the episode.
Well, that's fine. I like it. And also, my shit was fucked up for, like, an entire year. Okay, maybe more like 10 months. My shit downstairs was fucked up for 10 months after I got my Nexplanon arm implant removed and I got the copper IUD. I was fucked up. And, like, my cycles were out of whack. I had the heaviest periods I've ever had in my entire life, the most painful, like they were debilitating. Like I couldn't get out of bed and I had never experienced anything like that. But, and then there's also like, you know, the medical industry not recognizing women's pain and not believing them when they say how much it hurts. And getting an IUD is one of those things we all probably have a friend who has a horror story.
Oh yeah.
Or you yourself are afraid to get it because you're just worried about the pain. And I was nervous. I definitely was. But I wanted it more than I was nervous. So, you know, I brought my boyfriend for support. But it was excruciating. I compared it to my kidney infection that I had a couple years ago when I almost died of sepsis.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And then I got home. I could barely walk for like 2 days. And then I got home and immediately passed out and almost bashed my head on the kitchen counter. Because I passed out from pure pain. And you know what they did? They gave me Tylenol. And they probably charged me
$1 million.
$20 for 2 Tylenol pills. But my insurance did cover it. So I didn't have to pay it. But, and thank God my insurance covered it. Because that shit would have been like $3,000. Granted, you know, if you break it down by like cost per day. This thing's going to last me 12 years. So $3,000 for something that's going to last you 12 years is not bad. But there are people who don't have insurance and can't afford that, you know? And on top of it, it sounds really scary. And then they could put it in and it could get fucking embedded in your uterine lining.
Yep.
It could come out. She told me, she was like, so, well, sorry, you guys. That one was a surprise cough. I didn't mute myself. I apologize. But like I use a menstrual cup and she asked me, do you use a menstrual cup? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, you have to be careful when you're taking it out because if you don't break the suction properly, you could suck that shit right out of you with the suction force.
You know how annoyed I'd be if I went through all that pain to have that in there and then I accidentally yanked it out myself.
I have contemplated if I do that on accident, if somehow shit gets messed up, would I do it again?
I feel like you would. You're crazy.
I probably would because I want to not deal with it for as long as possible. And I cannot be trusted with birth control pills.
What happens to them when you die? You disintegrate and it just falls out of your bones.
Yeah. Or you get cremated. That probably melts though. Maybe like if there's like the copper though, maybe the copper doesn't melt and the copper would just be left in the incinerator. Yeah. Like there's all this shit, the extent that we go to not get pregnant, to deal with our cycle literally all month long. We are always in some kind of a cycle. And only one of them is like good. You know, there's like all the other cycles have negative things that you have to deal with. And so it just feels like a never ending circus, doesn't it?
The vagina circus.
The vagina circus. Yeah. And it's clownery that we have to deal with all of this. And then it just, everything has to fucking hurt. And you know, then if you want kids, you have to get pregnant, and then you have to give birth to those kids if you want biological children.
Yes.
And that's excruciating, and it fucks you up. Some people rip all the way to their asshole and have to sew their whole vajayjay back together.
Oh my God, that reminds me of when my sister had her second child, and she texted me. I was like, I didn't even rip this time.
Excuse me?
This time?
What happened last time?
Girl, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know that.
I don't want to know. But I'm trying to think, like, do I have any other crazy vagina stories that maybe, you know, this is kind of like, maybe we could do a series called like what your mom never told you or whatever.
Oh, I like that.
Things your mom never told you. This could be episode one of the series of things your mom never told you.
Things your mom never told you. Things mama should have gone over in depth and she didn't.
Yeah.
Because it was taboo.
Right. Yep. And, I had like chronic UTIs as a kid, and that sucked, and into my teen years. And, a UTI led into a kidney infection. I had no idea that if a UTI wasn't nipped in the bud properly, that it would turn into a kidney infection. Nobody told me that. And I went to the doctor twice, and they were like, oh, here's some antibiotics. You have a UTI. It wasn't enough or whatever, and it turned into a kidney infection. I literally went to the doctor twice, and then I ended up going three times. The last one was an emergency room visit, and they slapped a $9,000 bill in my face.
Dude, my UTI turned into an E. coli poisoning.
What the fuck? I didn't know that was possible. Oh my God. Oh my God. See, these are things, just how would you
exactly
know? How would you fucking know?
Mm-mm. No. You wouldn't. You really wouldn't.
Fucking wouldn't.
Turn an E. coli poisoning. God, what else? I'm trying to think. There was something else. Oh, another awful horror story. Before we started recording, I was telling Liz about when I had to get an internal ultrasound before I had a cyst removed from my ovary. And they stick a humongous rot. No, first you have to starve yourself for 24 hours so that nothing in your stomach blocks the ultrasound. So that was hard. I failed at that. I ended up eating a biscuit that night because I was so fucking hungry. All I could think about was food. So I ate a little biscuit, didn't do anything. And the next day I had the ultrasound. They still couldn't see anything because I was so constipated, even after having two enemas that I had to give myself.
Oh my God.
I couldn't poop enough. So there was too much stool covering up what they needed to see. And it was all for fucking nothing. So they shoved it. Oh. I remember the woman was like, it was a tech. It wasn't a gynecologist. It was like just like an ultrasound tech or whatever. She like shoved it up in me. And when I was like, ah, ow, because it fucking hurt. She goes, well, do you want to do it?
Are you kidding me?
I was like, girl, are you fucking kidding me? I can't see anything. Where are y'all getting your medical degrees from?
Where?
You assholes.
Where is the bedside manners? Where is the empathy? You know what you're doing to someone. You're the nurse. You're whoever. Where is the empathy?
Like, I don't know how many times a day you're shoving that up in yourself for fun, but guess what, girly pop? The rest of us aren't used to it, so.
Jeez.
Goddamn.
Goddamn is right.
It was not a good time. It was straight up not a good time. I did not have a good time. The time was not good. A good time was not had.
Not at all.
And then there's also molluscum.
Oh my God. Was that the worst out of everything?
That's the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. That is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
That was months on end.
That was for a solid probably 4, 5, 6 months of my life last year. If you have never heard of molluscum contagiosum, normally little kids get it. They're called water warts. But normally little kids get it in like pools and stuff. And what happens
is you have,
well, anybody can. If you have an open wound and the bacteria is in the water, you can get it. Or if you have an open wound and someone else is carrying the bacteria and you share a towel or whatever, you can get it. But I got that on my lower ass cheek and it spread, people, and it kept spreading. And I cried incessantly in pain for months on end because I had to treat it with this shit that essentially burnt my skin off. And when I say that it literally crept into every crevice that it could, I mean it. And when I say that it literally took 6 months of my life to treat it, to get them to all of these little bumps to go away, I mean it. And what did we learn from that, kids? Don't ever shave and leave your razor in the shower, because it can contract that type of bacteria. Also, make sure that make sure that you don't partake in any kind of any bodily contact on there right after you shave, okay? Because you have no idea. This is the type of thing that, like, you can pick this up on your hands and never in a million years even know that you have it on you, because normally little, like I said, little kids get this type of stuff on their hands and their arms and their backs. You get it on your butt, that shit will spread like wildfire. Ask Liz, guys. The crying I did for months on end. I had to hold ice on my ass and cooch every night for 6 months.
The lengths that you went to just not be in excruciating pain was terrible.
It was horrible. I don't think I'd wish that like on my worst enemy. I really,
you couldn't walk. You couldn't sit down at times. You couldn't lay down at times. You couldn't stand up at times.
Remember how I couldn't even wear certain clothes because it meant that my cheeks would rub and I'd spread it onto the other cheek?
And you were like trying to put Band-Aids over top of them, like, you know, gauze or whatever. Nothing worked.
I had to get medicine that was so strong that it was actually medicine they used to treat skin cancer. Like, that's the only thing that could officially kill the bacteria.
You tried things, but it kept coming back.
Yeah, because it just kept spreading. The first medication that I used, I forget what it was called, but essentially what it would do was irritate the infection so bad that it would essentially it would panic and it would try to like preserve itself, so it would pop up in more places. And then I finally complained, and that was also like super painful. And I complained to my gynecologist, so she prescribed me something called podophyllin, and it looks like a little clear gel. It comes in a bottle that, I'm not even kidding you, it's this big, and it's like $80.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, Brooke was showing me like with her fingers an inch.
Yeah, it's literally not even an inch big, and it had to be specially mailed to me, and I had to do that every morning and every night. And after about 3 weeks of doing that, they were all gone. So 6 months of pure fucking... Oh, yeah. Let's not forget the fact that I got a hemorrhoid. I got a hemorrhoid while I was dealing with that. That was the first and only one I've ever had in my life. And I don't know how I ended up with it.
Oh, my God. I just remember there were times that I was... When we were during that 6 months, when we were like talking on the phone and stuff, or FaceTime, I was like, when is this going to end for her?
Girl, like, I just cried all the time. I just called Liz and cried, straight up cried.
It was unimaginable.
Yeah. Shit.
And these are all of the crazy stories that I'm guessing your mom never told you about.
No, we'll be back with another one eventually because there's bound to be some other stuff. Y'all got a cyst under your armpit? We'll talk about that.
Talk about it.
For real.
So I think, so we'll have to pick, you know, we're going to pick an Ostara egg, but also in the comments, for this little series of things your mom never told you, if you have topics that you would like us to talk about, let us know. And maybe we pick like a fruit. What's like the fruit that's most associated with the vagina? Isn't it like
a peach? No, it's a papaya, a peach.
They don't have a papaya. They have a peach though. What about an orange?
I guess we'll have to do a peach.
Peach.
Or an orange.
So go and fill up the comments on our Instagram page in the post associated with this episode. Comment oranges and peaches. And if you have fun little topics that you can think of for things your mom never told you about, we will talk about them. So throw that in the comments as well.
Yeah. And until then, folks,
take care of your vaginas because you only have one. Take probiotics. Go to, for your annual exam. Find a doctor that you really like and you trust because then it's not scary.
And it's not as awkward.
Yeah. And if you're like, for me, I will only see a woman gynecologist. No fucking shame. Do it.
Yeah, I would never see a male psychologist. I mean, not psychologist, gynecologist. Jackson and I have talked about this so many times. Like,
that makes me uncomfortable. And
it
also
makes me uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. And there's just no way that me telling a dude about my vagina, like this person doesn't know fuck shit about what I'm
you're
saying.
You're never going to understand.
Like, you're a doctor and you know, but like, you also don't know. And I want someone who knows and gets it.
No offense to anybody who has like a boyfriend or parent or brother or whatever who's a gynecologist. Like, I don't see how you can understand.
Well, take your supplements, take your vitamins, take care of your coochie.
Take care of that flora. That's what it's called. That flora.
So, yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.